No. Put the vent regular. Just pull the vent down. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Put it on high. Thank you. Okay, let's begin. Okay, wanted to first of all, I want to welcome all the new fellows to YU, and also the fellows who were here last year as well. We started Newsman today, and very important that we talk about a few things before we start Shir. First thing is I want to mention is about, obviously everyone's got to have a Gemara. Purchase a Gemara. If you haven't one, you can purchase one today. Also, everyone should have a Rambam. Two Halakim Rambams better, so you don't have to buy all of the different Svarim. You don't have to keep track of them. It's very important you have a Rambam. As you saw today, we'll be doing a lot of Rambam. Okay? In the Mara Makomos. Thirdly, I think it's good to buy a Kovetz Beforshim, which has a Likud of all the different Beforshim. I think you can buy that as well here. And basically those three Svarim are the Iker Svarim and anything else you wanted. There's a Rakhba, you could also get a Blue Rakhba, that's also in the Kovetz Beforshim. But the notes might be the most of the Puk Rakhbas, if you could try to get those as well. Very good idea as well. Okay. There is also a safer, I have here Yisra Bracha, that is Mavar the Tysusin. So if you want to try to get a hold of that safer Yisra Bracha, might also be a good idea as well. Okay, regarding Chavrusas, very critical that everyone has Chavrusa. We know the Seder is at 9 a.m. to noon. And that means to try for us to be as makpid on this Zmanim as possible. Very difficult schedule we have here in Yeshiva. And that means everyone has to be very self-disciplined and watch their zmanim as best of their ability as they can. And therefore, one should try to get up and go to a minyan that you know for sure you'll be at Seder at 9. And by maybe oven, and you can eat a breakfast beforehand, and you can be ready. And I know if the schedule gets difficult, it becomes harder, but we have to really strive to the best of our ability. That Zman is really sanctified for Limud HaTorah and really nothing else. Okay, so that's from 9 to 12. And then we have Shir from 1:15 to 2:30. That means also that the attendance is obligatory. And that means that we have to be here every day of Shir. Obviously, if someone's sick, obviously it's an exemption, of course, but we really have to try, and I can't stress that enough. I'm very makel when it comes to the grades, but I'm not makel if someone does not attend, because there's nothing to be makel on. And that's a critical thing. Seder is as obligatory as Shir, and as Seder, obviously, I'm not here to watch you, whether you're there at Seder all the time, but Shir, most definitely, and we really should take a daily attendance. We usually don't end up doing that, but we really should, ideally. And even if we don't, that obviously does not excuse a person for not being there every day. Okay? And I want to stress that as the fact that I said beforehand. Bezer Shem, every day we'll have the Marma Komos. Hopefully I'll be there by 9. I try to sometimes live there a little bit later. But the Marma Komos are for you to see all of them. And if you finish them, there's always what to do. You can go on. You can see another Rishon, another Akron. You can go over to Marma Komos. You can Chazer. And I'd like to advise you maybe to go over Shir at night or Chavrusa, or if you want to do that in the morning, in the beginning of Seder, if you're going to do that in the morning, then that means you really got to be there 9, because you want to chazal, let's say, the first half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever, how long it takes you, and then you want to do the Mar Makomos that will be for new. So you have to keep that in mind. And if there's any assistance you need for Chavrusas, please let me know. We have 2 shear assistants, Jay-Z and Eitan. Where's Eitan? Okay, and if you need help with the Chavrusas, you can ask them, you can ask me. Let me give you my phone number. I always give out my phone number first day of shear. You write it down. I'm here for you to help you, and not just in learning, if anything comes up that you need to discuss about, any matter that comes up, life issues, if I can be of help with Siyat Dishmaya, you feel free and don't hesitate to speak to me. Bez Hashem, we met her, Van Har. I try to be in the Bez Medrash in the afternoon Seder, in the Kolel, except for Tuesday afternoons when we have early shear on Tuesdays. We have early shear on Tuesdays from 11 to 12:15. So Tuesday afternoon, I'm not here. But the other afternoons, Bez Hashem, Van Har, I am there. So if you want to speak with me, you can make an appointment. You can come in, we can set a time in the Bez Medrash, and we can talk. Or, as I said, you can call on the phone, not too late at night, but use your discretion. I think that's about... did I say my phone number? I did not say that. Okay. 973-594-4947. Okay? 973-594-4947. Okay. Very good. This is a good opportunity. We start Yom Kippur Kotten, so we have a whole month of Elul, and the secular studies don't really get too busy. At least when I was in college, it didn't get too busy until for sure after Sukkot. And therefore, we should make sure we have night seders, and we try to the best of our ability to really impact upon ourselves and ready ourselves for the Yom Noroyim, as Yom HaDin is coming, and Rosh Chodesh Elul. When we hear about Rosh Chodesh Elul, we have to start being mechazik ourselves in different areas in Ruchnius. And that certainly starts with Limud HaTorah. Okay. I know sometimes it's difficult to bring in a lot of Sfarim, but at least please bring your Gemara. Okay? At least please bring your Gemara every day. Okay? At least please bring, and like I said, preferably the Rambam Tashir as well, but at least the Gemaras. Okay, let's begin. Okay, we begin the 7th parak of Bava Kamma. Now, I want to begin, number one, with the following introduction. And that is that when you talk about Nezikin, which is one of the 6 Sfarim in Shas, Bava Kamma is the first Masechta in Seder Nezikin. And when you talk about Nezikin, we know Nezikin are damages. Now, damages can be one of 3 fold. Let's get to different categories. Number one category is what we call chovo b'chaveiro, which is when you strike your friend, you hit your friend. That's what chovo b'chaveiro really is. You strike your friend, and that's what the 8th parak really is devoted to. Chovo b'chaveiro is chayav in 5 things, which is nezek, tsar, ripui, shevis, uboshes. Nezek is the damages, ripui are the medical bills, shevis is the unemployment compensation, and boshes is the embarrassment factor that you have implemented to the person you hurt. That's number one category. I want you to get chovo b'chaveiro, number one. Number two, the second category that we have is called adam hamazik, when a person goes ahead and destroys the property of someone else. I go ahead and take a baseball bat and destroy someone's automobile. That's called adam hamazik. That's the second category. And the third category is called mamun hamazik, where my shor damages other people's property. Okay? Or my shor damages other people's property, or it could be what? My shor could damage other people. It wasn't myself, it wasn't chovo b'chaveiro, a man damaging another man. It wasn't adam hamazik, it was mamon hamazik. So those are 3 categories that you have that breaks down damages, and the Gemara in the Masechta Bava Kamma deals with all 3. Okay? And it's important to note that in the Zikin, we deal with the requirement to pay financial matters to compensate for what you did, you hurt a person. But the question that all Achronim are bothered by is that, is there an isser at all? Is there an isser at all to be mazik someone? Is there an isser to be damaged someone? Is there any isser to damage anyone? Certainly you have to pay for what you did, for what you damaged someone. But is there an isser? Are you over any isser in the Torah? Are you over any isser in the Torah? We know there are three categories in the Dini HaTorah, says the Vilna Gaon. Very famous comment in the Deres Eliyahu. It says in the Pasuk, Bein Dam Ladam, Bein Din Ladin, Bein Nega Lanega. Bein Dam Ladam is areas of Isra Beheter. Vilna Gaon says there are three areas in Kol HaTorah Kula. I'm sorry. There's a category called Isra Beheter, which is Bein Dam Ladam. You get the phrase in the Pasuk as well. There is Bein Din Ladin, there's Dine Mominus. And then there is the Halakha of what? The Halakha of Tumah B'Tahara, which is Bein Nega L'Nega. Dine, Tumah B'Tahara. So there are three categories of Dine HaTorah in general in Kol HaTorah Kula. We have to break down the Zikin, which is one aspect of Dine Mominus, into three categories. Okay? In Dine Mominus, there's a category called the Zikin, which we began here by saying, broken down into three subcategories. Okay, now when you engage in the Zikin, are you over any Yisra at all? Did you do anything wrong? If you damaged someone, certainly if you yourself damaged them. If your animal did, well, if you did it on purpose, you're probably over an Yisra too. What is that Yisra? And is there an Yisra? So the Gemara says in Kiddushin that there is an Yisra. Gemara we learned last year says that there is a principle, the Gemara calls it an Avera. You engage in the Zikin. Gemara and then Beis and Beis, if you recall, called the Zikin what? An Avera. Gemara had a Kiddushin and then Beis and Beis discussing the Mishnah in our Masechta, in the Masechta Bava Kamma. Says and then Beis and Beis in the Masechta Kiddushin that engaging in the Zikin is an Avera. I want to just read you the line of the Gemara Kiddushin. On Membeis and Membeis. The Gemara says, quotes a Mishnah by us and Baba Kaman and Tess and Membeis, Shaleach has a Be'ira, Yad Kereshot to the Kotan Pot of Vidini, Odom Achayed Vidine Shamayim. It says, Shiloh Piyad Pikeach, Pikeach Chayim. If you send a coal in the hand of a Kereshot to the Kotan, then you are potter b'dini adam, you're chayv in the shamayim, you're chayv to pay b'dini shamayim, to clear the slate clean between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shiluk b'yad b'keyach, b'keyach adam. You sent the coal in the hand of a healthy person, a sane person, then the shliach is chayv, not the mishalev. And the Gemara asks, why don't you say shluk o'shalonim kamoso? Why don't you say shluk o'shalonim kamoso? If I give a coal to a person that is what? Sane. And he burns down a house. So why does the Mishnah say the shliach is chayv and not the sender? So our answer is ain't shliach l'davar aveira. But what do you see from that? What is your name? Ezra. What do you see from that Gemara? That it's called an aveira. You see that Ezekiel is called an aveira. The Gemara says ain't shliach l'davar aveira kedushin aveira. But you see that Ezekiel is an aveira. Well, what aveira? What is the aveira that Ezekiel is what consists of? So there is a shita of the Kiryat Sefer that says it's only an Avera Midrabanan. The Mabit writes that Nezikin is only an Avera Midrabanan. Okay? That's a stunning Kiddush. You mean if you go ahead and destroy someone's automobile with a bat, you mean you're only over an Avera Midrabanan? Yeah, that's what he claims. Obviously you have to pay, but it's only an Avera Midrabanan. However, most of the Rishonim beg to differ strongly. And they claim that destroying what? Someone's automobile is a terrible aveira. And what is that aveira? There are different approaches. Rabbi Yonah writes in Avos, Rabbi Yonah writes in the Sefer Avos, that the aveira that happens when it comes to Nezikin is Gezel, which we're going to get into today. The Yisra of Zeru, Lo Tigzel. You're over the Yisra of Zeru. This is Rabbi Yonah. Reb Chaim writes that it's based on the Pasuk in Chumash of the Parsha of the Shomrim. Reb Chaim writes it's based on the Pasuk of the Shomrim. Reb Chaim says the Rav's grandfather, that's how Chaim Soloveitchik, that's how, says the Parsha of Shomrim, says The parts of Shomrim require a person to guard an object if you were given to watch. So the assumption is that if you don't guard it properly, you're over an Isser. In fact, it says in the Chumash there, Velo Yishmerenu, that in fact might be the law that Reb Chaim is in fact driving at. You don't guard it properly. But the whole parsha of Shomrim assumes a premise that if you don't guard an object properly, you're over an Isser. That's Reb Chaim's take. Then there is a what? Another approach. That is the approach of the Yad Ramah, where the Yad Ramah writes in Baba Basra, he gives basically two psukim. He writes that it is a pasuk of Mikne Iver Lo Sitei Michshol. Mikne Iver Lo Sitei Michshol. And what do you see from this? Mikne Iver Lo Sitei Michshol. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Bava Beis interprets it on a halachic level. Meaning that what? You're not allowed to give a cup of a wine to a Nazir. Nazir can't drink wine. I can't give Avri Menachai to a non-Jew. Because one of the Shemites Ben Noach is a Ben Noach, is Avri Menachai. I can't be machshel someone to do an Avera. But let's say you put a chair in front of a blind man and he trips. Are you overly certainly favored? Yes or no? Obviously you're a Russia. You're a horrible guy for doing such a thing. But were you over this issue? So the Minchas Chinuch says, he's not sure, he has a suffix. But the Yad Ramah writes, the marker for Nezikin is, or Chokas Nezikin is what? Lifnei Iver. So it's clear that he learns. You put a chair in front of a blind man, you're over this issue. You are over this issue without a doubt from this pasuk. Because he's saying this is the marker for Nezikin. So obviously interpret the pasuk also literally. You follow me, Noam? On a halachic level. You follow me? That's the halacha. The halacha is not just give you koshyan with nazar, the halachic stumbling, but you actually physically cause him to what? To stumble. And then there is another mark of the Yad Ramah gives. The other mark of the Yad Ramah gives is v'hakta l'reacha kamocha. You love your neighbor like yourself, you're not going to destroy your own car with your own baseball bat. So obviously why do it to your friend? Your friend's automobile. And therefore that serves as a what? As another marker for the din of what? Nezikin. The Aveira, the Isser of Nezikin. This is critical as an introduction before we start from the second. Okay? That you are over on Aveira. This is what the Yad Ramah writes. So you see clearly, I want you to get that right. You see from that Yad Ramah that he assumes you could be poshut the suffix of the Minchas Chinuch. And Hasina says you're not sure, he's not sure you're over the Aveira of Lifnei. You put a chair in front of a blind man. Certainly, according to the Yad Ramah, Rishon, you are over the Isser. And then there is a fifth marker, and that is the Rishash in Shuvas and Dr. Kess, when the Rishash makes a Kal V'chomer from Hashavas Aveda. May a mitzvah shall Hashavas Aveda. There's a mitzvah to restore a lost object of a friend of yours. So if there's a mitzvah to restore a lost object from a friend of yours, certainly there's an Isser and a bear to destroy his object. The Torah goes over the, above the letter of the law, and it's not above the letter of the law, because the Torah makes the mitzvah. But if the Torah obligates a guy to restore a lost object of someone, so certainly you're obligated, it's an Isser to what? To destroy someone's object. Obviously that's what one must suggest. And therefore there's an Aveira to destroy someone's what? Property or hurt someone else. So we see clearly that Nezikin, this is the marker of the Isser of Nezikin. Okay? And this is very critical. Now when we talk about Chol B'Chaveros, obviously you're over the Isser. You strike someone, you're over the Isser of what? Ben Yosef. We're talking about, let's say, the other categories. Adam HaMazik. Adam HaMazik, you go ahead and destroy. The example we kept giving, where is the Aveira? That is why, please get this, the Gemara in Kedushin and then Beis and Beis says, as Ezra said, Ein Shliach of the Aveira, but many forget it says Aveira. Ein Shliach of the Aveira means we nailed the Shliach and not the Mishaleach. You nailed the agent and not the sender. But it's also calling it an Aveira. It's calling it an Aveira. You must ask yourself what the Aveira is. The Gemara doesn't say, and therefore we offer five different approaches. Okay? As the Makar of Nezikin, we broke down Nezikin to be under the area of the Nevamonis, which is a threefold subcategory. Yeah, eight times first. Go ahead, real quick.
According to the second marker from Yad Ramah, it's not really a
Okay, you're right. I didn't say it had to be a lav. This had to be nisr. This would be an nisr esek. That is correct. What's an nisr esek? An nisr esek is considered to be what? Like what? Like this concept of v'hafal re'echa kamocha. Right? There are certain things in halacha that are called nisr esek. Right? Not a lav, but a Torah that formulates an nisr esek. Like it says that what? Kohen Gadol must marry a besula. The Torah formulates it in a positive fashion, but it's an iser. This is the makar of the iser. It didn't say it had to be a lot. Okay? Yeah, go ahead, Donnie.
According to Rashi, why would you learn how to there's an iser
of destroying someone's property just because there's an iser for terms of the property? We don't learn how to do it from iser. No, what you're assuming is that's regarding the chorus of dinin, but regarding whether you've been over in a beira, certainly it makes a lot of sense. It's a great kalvachomer. If I have a mitzvah to restore someone's lost object, certainly I have an iser what? To destroy it. Mitzvah and iser is the same thing. It's not talking about dinin, but mitzvah and iser are the same thing. Mitzvah and iser are in the same category. Mitzvahs and yisurim are the same category. Yeah, go ahead, Howard. Yeah, these will all be D'oraisa. Yeah, kalvachomer is one of the ways you learn how to do D'oraisa. Okay, we got to move on. Okay, fine. This is the first category that we wanted to see, first introduction that we have. Okay, now our Perek Merubah picks up, discusses, before we see inside, I want to give the Hakdama about Kenevim Zeyu. Okay? Our Mishnah assumes that we know a lot of things. Okay, and therefore we must give Hakdama talking about the notion of Kneva and Zeyu. And that's in fact what our Mishnah doesn't really talk about. Zeyla, it contrasts the din of Kefal Gneva to Dalad Behei, but I want to get down exactly what Gneva is and what Zeyla is, as so we can have an introduction before we see the Mishnah inside. Okay. Let us begin with the following. I wanted you to see a few Rambams, just a few, all right? A little bit more than a few, okay? Well, let's begin in the Rambam, okay? Let's begin in the Rambam. Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos, and it's interesting, the Rambam right off the bat, categorically, has two what? Has two halachas. He has the halacha, he has two categories, two sparim rather. Just want to keep this off. Yeah, the Rambam writes, Rambam writes, he has Hilchos Geneva, and he has Hilchos Zeyla. He has two categories. That itself is telling that obviously they are what? They are two different categories. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us to note exactly what the difference is between Geneva and Zeyla. Rambam writes, in Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, and Hilchos Geneva, Kol HaGoneiv Mamo Mishava Pruta, Rambam writes, anyone who steals mama mishava pruta lamala oivra lo tasa shenamra lo signo. So the first line in Hilchos Geneva, what does the Rambam write? Rambam says if you steal mama mishava pruta lamala, you're over to the lav of lo signo. If you look in the beginning of Hilchos Zeyla in Perek Aleph Halach Aleph, Rambam writes kol agoizus chaver shava pruta over lo sasa shenamra lo signo. What does he leave out in Zeyla that he had in Geneva? I can't hear you. Ulamala. Ulamala. In Zeyla he writes, anyone who steals a shavah pruta, finish. He doesn't say ulamala. In Hilchos Geneva he writes, anyone who steals a shavah pruta, ulamala, and above that, is over lotase of lo signal. When it comes to Zeyla, he just says, if you steal a shavah pruta, you're over lotase of lo signal. Why doesn't he not write the word ulamayla when it comes to Hilchos Zeyla? That's the first kasha we have to see. Okay? First thing you open up the Rambam, you want to compare the two. Rambam is trying to tell us the difference here. What is this difference? Okay. Clear? Yossi, right? Got it? Very good. Okay. Number two. Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel in Hilchos Geneva points out a famous distinction But I want you to know the Gemara. I didn't give you the Gemara, but you'll look it up. Let's take a quick look at it. Take a look at Ayin Testament Beis. In Ayin Testament Beis, the Gemara asks, why is it that there's a Chiyuv Kefil for Gneva and not Zeila? Ayin Testament Beis, right in the middle of the Yomim. Shalu Talmidei v'Shev Yochanan ben Zakkai. The middle of the Yomim. The Talmidim asked Shev Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shalu Talmidei v'Shev Yochanan ben Zakkai. Nitnei machmira Torah v'ganaf Yosef v'gavva. Why was the Torah more machmir by Ganef to make him pay Kefil and not by a Gazel? Amar lahen zeh shehishvah kovet evit lekovet koinoi. Zeh lo hishvah kovet evit lekovet koinoi. Because a Ganef does it covertly. A Ganef steals. He's more scared of man than Hashem. He puts man on a higher pedestal than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, Hashem finds him and finds him with the double payment of Kefil. Whereas a goblin does it overtly in public, he could care less. He doesn't necessarily put man on a higher level than Hashem. And therefore, because of that, the Torah did not find a goblin with the penalty, and I call it a penalty because it's a knas of Kefil. This is the Gemara and Ayin Testament base. So Rambam, based on that halacha, the Gemara and Ayin Testament base, points out in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel this exact distinction that Gnev is when you take something b'seser. B'seser means covertly. The Bialim don't know about it. However, when it comes to Gezel is when it's done with Farhesia, and therefore that is the distinction that the Gemara quotes, and that's what the Rambam writes. So we see that the Rambam clearly defines that there's a Gnev in Zeil. But there's another chiluk that we must mention right now, and that is the following. And that is that there is a halacha that we learned in the Gemara, you learned this morning, that if you're a gonif min aganif, you steal from a ganif, what's the din? There is no din kefil. Gonif min aganif, there is no din of a kefil. That's the Gemara and later on. That's our Gemara we have on Samach Beis and Beis. A gonif min aganif is not chayiv kefil, but he has a din of a gazel. He has a din of a gazel. He's not a din of a ganef. Why not? Why not, Josh? He took the money what? Took the money what covertly? Ganef mean a ganef. He took it covertly. Why is he not a ganef? Why is he not a ganef? What's the shot? Must be that there's another distinction that we must mention that defines a difference between ganef and zayin. So number one difference is what? Seiser and gomri. Okay, this is Gneva, this is Jayla. Seiser and Gully. Number two difference is the following, said Reb Chaim. Number two difference is that there's a fundamental distinction in the following way. What Jayla is, the way we'll call it is your maxid mamon shel chavero. Jayla is your maxid mamon shel chavero. You are maxid mamon of your friend. Your maxid mamon. That's what Gezel is. When it comes to what? When it comes to Gneva, Gneva is not necessarily just you're making, you're causing someone a financial loss. It's much more than that. What Gneva is that when you're motzi mamon, your shoes bite. You must be motzi mamon. It's an act of a Gneva, a thievery, a maisa veira, a maisa Gneva. Not just stop financially causing someone a loss. It's a maisa what? Hotzah tefis. Hotzos, taking out Chayfetz, the article, Nerushus Bayit. This is why you understand very clearly why our Gemara says, Agonif min Aganif is not a what? Ganif. But what is he, Josh? A Goslin. Because that second Ganif did not take the Chayfetz out of who? The Rushus of the original owners, did he? All he was doing is Mahakev a moment Shechavero. By him stealing it from the first Ganif, what is he doing? He's disallowing the owner to get the original owner to get his money back. Therefore, he falls under the rubric of what? Of a Goslin and not a what? And not a Ghana. Please get that. That din in our Gemara of Goinif in a Ghana Omri, right? Makes you a Goslin, shows that there's another definition that we must know between Gnev and Zeil. Not just whether you did it overtly or covertly. If that would be the case, why is a Ganav and a Ganav not considered to be a Ganav? He did it covertly. The Torah says there's another distinction. And that other distinction is also that what? It's a Maisa Chayf, it's a Maisa Hotzah, Hotzah Chayf, it's Mirashus Bayim. You don't have that when you're a Ganav min a Ganav. You're not taking it from the original God. You're taking it from the Ganav. Okay? This is the second distinction that we have between Gnev and Zev. Oh. However, it's important that we know, and that is the following, that you can have the Isser of Gneva, the Isser, I quote the Isser, not the Chalos, the package deal. Chalos means the status of being called a Ganav. The status of being called a Ganav. You don't have the status of being called a Ganav when you're a Ganav, mean a Ganav. But are you over an Isser? Jason, are you over the Isser of being a Ganav? Yes, you're over the Isser. You don't have all the requirements of a Ganav. What's the requirement of a Ganav? That he's got to pay kaful. You won't have that according to the Ganav. But were you over the Isser of Geneva? Yes, you were. You're not going to be high kaful, but you're over the Isser in the Torah. That's a lot like we said earlier in Shir, that there's an Isser. What is this Isser? The Isser is that you are a Ganav, but you don't have the Chalos of being a Ganav. That's why I wanted you to see the Rambam. When the Rambam writes in Perek Zion, in Hilchos Gneivah, Halacha Yirala, what does the Rambam write? Rambam says, Perek Zion in Hilchos Gneivah, Halacha Yirala. What does he say? He says, if you're over Hasagas Gvul, you take over someone's property. We're all familiar with that din of Hasagas Gvul. Rambam writes, if you're Masel Gvul Chaveiro, V'chnis B'chum Chaveiro, you take over his property. The Sof Tchuma Afilu Melo Etzba Im Bechazakas, if you did it against his will, you did it with force. HaRezeh Gazlon Im Hissik Beseser, if you did it covertly. HaRezeh Ganav Im Beretz Yisrael Hissik Agvul HaRezeh Ober Mishnei Lavin Balav Gnevo Balav Gzeilu Balav Otasi Bein Chai Balav Zeilu Beretz Yenemar Banachaloska Asher Tinkal. So he says, if you take over someone's property, you're over two Lavin. Now, what's the problem with this? What's the chiddush with this din? What's the problem with that? Why are you called what? Why are you called a what? You did it covertly, you're called a what? A Ganav. Is there hotzah chayfet mishus bayim? You can't. Karka doesn't move. Real estate doesn't move. Movables move. Metalim, karka doesn't move. It stays in the same place. So why are you called a Ganav? So the Rav said, the Peshat is that what? You don't have a Chalos being called a Ganav, where there's a package deal of being Chayav Kefil, but are you over to Isser, Yossi? Yossi, right? Are you over to Isser? Yes, you're over to Isser of Geneva. You're over to Isser of Geneva. So you can have a situation where you'll be over to Isser of Geneva, namely Ganav mina Ganav, and also Hasagas Gvul, even though it's not a Chalos Gneva, but it's already Isser of Gneva. Because it's not a Chalos Gneva, because you don't have what? Both definitions of covertly and also escapist through Shus Bible. Karka, you can't do that, because it never, it doesn't move. And also regarding the Halacha of what? Ganav mina Ganav. You don't have also escapist through Shus Bible. Okay? We got this? What is your first name?
Daniel.
Daniel. Okay, it takes me a while to get all the names. We'll get it. Okay. All right, so therefore, we have the following situation that comes up. Okay? In this Rambam. Okay? And that's before we see in the Gemara. Even though someone asked me, how is it similar? I mean, how is it different than in the Gemara? I forgot who asked me this. In Seder. This leads us to the next Rambam. Rambam says in Perek Dalet. Let's get it. Rambam says in Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud, the following. Very interesting Rambam. As all Rambams. Rambam says, if you are a shomer, a guardsman of an object, and you steal it, the object you were watching for someone, you steal it. Rambam writes, if you're a shomer that steals, and there were eight in there that saw you steal it, you are chayav a kefil. So let's get that. A shomer that steals the object that he himself what? Was watching is chayav kefil. However, when it comes, says the Ravid, Ravid says, ain't no clue. Ravid argues on this Rambam. So according to the Rambam, you're chayav kefil. According to the Ravid, you are not chayav kefil. Okay? We got that? So who asked me to say here? How could the Ravid say you're not chayav kefil? Doesn't our Gemara say, Tonim Tainas Ganav is chayav kefil? Did everyone get to it in the Gemara? What's the case of Toin Tainas Ganav? What's the case of Toin Tainas Ganav? What's this case? Where you're a Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam is only Chayiv in what? He's the lowest level of Shomer. What's a Shomer Chinam Chayiv in? Only Tzia. What happens if he takes a Shvua that it was stolen? Shomer Chinam is Putter from Gaim. Then they find out he's lying. After he took a Shvua. What's the din? Chayiv Kefil. It's a special din. Sky of Capel. He didn't steal anything covertly, but he was caught what? Lying with an oath. That's a special din in the Chumash of Toin Tainas Ganav Sky of Capel. The special din in the Chumash of Toin Tainas Ganav Sky of Capel. So according to the Ravid, Ravid says you're not Sky of Capel. In this case of Shomer, what? That stole. So someone asked you, how's that different in the case of Toin Tainas Ganav? How's it different than Toin Tainas Ganav being Sky of Capel? What's the shot? What's the difference? What's the difference that you would say? Someone tell me. Go ahead. I can hear you. Okay, very good. In other words, in the case where there was no shvua, and there's Toin Tainas Ganav, you took a shvua, you're caught lying. Everyone agrees with Chayav Kefil. That's in the Gemara. Question is, let's say you didn't take a shvua in this case. And if you look clearly, it's very interesting. If you look in the Ketzef Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah, Ketzef Mishnah says, Toin Tainas Ganav, he writes the following. He explains, V'li Mirish Adas Rabbeinu, the Toin Tainas Ganav Hanuk Shemnecha Pikonav Bin Komo, the Toin Shemnigav Kulo. V'hach V'shayni Shemichla Masu Hukkeretz Olok Aksas Pederak Neva. You see, there's a whole discussion here in the Magid Mishnah and in the Ravid, in the Magid Mishnah, Ketzef Mishnah, what was the claim of the Ravid against the Rambam? And it comes out very, very interesting because he says, Sotavar any of the Atana Rabbeinu. The Magen Mishnah closes his piece by saying, I don't know what the Rav is asking on the Rambam. Of course you're Chayav Kefil. Toin Tainas Ganav, you're Chayav Kefil in the Gemara, and the Rambam has a case where you're a Shomer, you stole. So what was the claim? So it could be that Toin Tainas Ganav, here, maybe it's a situation, this is what he explains, the Chiddush is, Toin Tainas Ganav is when you leave the Pikonam Bin Komo and you claim it was stolen. Toin Tainas Ganav, you claim it was stolen, it's sitting in the garage. Here you actually did a what? An act of thievery. Here you actually stole something. So that might be another distinction. The distinction between the Gemara, where it says Toin Tainas Ganav is Chayav what? Kefil, is where you took a shvua and you just lied and said it was stolen and sitting in your garage where you would originally put it to wash. Here we're talking about history. You actually did as a shomer an act of thievery where you took the object that you put it somewhere else. You took it for yourself. And in such a situation, the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid is whether there is a chiyuv what? Whether there is a chiyuv kefil in this situation. So we should note that this Rambam Ravid case has got to be a bit different than the Gemara because the Ravid can't argue on the Gemara. Correct? So we have to come up with some distinction. Either you can say, like Jason said, maybe there is no shvua there. Maybe there is no shvua there. Toin Tainas Ganav, only when there's a shvua and you're caught lying. Also, you could say maybe it's a different, bit of a different case. Because Toin Tainas Ganav is where you don't do anything, you just lie. But where you do some type of act, it's different. So the question is, if you're chayav kefil when you don't do anything, shouldn't you certainly be should be a kosher kefil? And that's exactly why the Magen Mishnah says he doesn't understand what the Ravid's tain is on the Rambam.
You're not taking anything from the bowel. You have it already.
Right, but you're doing some act of geneva. That's what he wants to say. You're taking something. By you taking it now and putting it where he's not going to be able to get it, makes it a bit different. Okay. But nonetheless, what I wanted to bring out here is the following. And that is that what is the pshat in what? What is the pshat in the Ravid? What's the pshat in the Ravid? What's the chiddush in this Ravid? What's the chiddush in this Ravid? Surachim this Ravid. Why? Because if it's considered to be what, a latikha from the Bailin, then you should be chayiv what? You should be chayiv what? Kefil. And if you consider it to be what? Not a latikha from the Bailin, then why are you chayiv at all? Why are you chayiv in achrayis? You are chayiv to what? You are chayiv in achrayis. The Raivan does agree that you're chayiv in achrayis. You are responsible for this object as a shomer because you took the object. So what is the pshat in the Raivan? Mimonachshon. Either you assume it's considered to be a tzos kevitz from the Bailin, you should be chayiv kefil. Or you should be considered nothing, and therefore why you chayiv in achrayis at all, like a goslin. Raivan considers you to be like a goslin, not like a ganav to be chayiv kefil. Rambam says you're a ganav, the Raivan says you're a goslin. So what's the pshat in the Raivan? So here, please get this. Reb Chaim explained in the Raivan the following. He explained following Chiddush. Please get this. When a shomer steals something from his reshus, what's it lacking? It's lacking hotzos, chayfitz, reshus, bali. Because the shomer is really like an extension of what? Of the bialin. So he's not taking it out of the bialin's reshus because he is the what? The bial's reshus. And if that's the case, all he's doing is what? Being ma'akev the mamon. From who? From his owner. Therefore, all he is, says the Raivan, is a what? Is a goslin. Because a goslin's not totally in what? The hosas chayfitz from who? From the bialin. But it's totally in being masjid mamon of chaveru. And that you're doing. Whereas when it comes to gneva, you need a maisik gneva hosas chayfitz bialin. By a shomer, it is not possible to have a maisik gneva. So please get that down. Reb Chaim explained the sheet of the Raivan is, by a shomer, you cannot have a maisik gneva, by definition. Because gneva is also a statement for a shus violence. And you can't have that. It's an oxymoron in the case of what? A shomer. Because he's always with the Baal. He's an extension of the Baal of a shus. So therefore, by definition, all you're doing is be makim moment of Havera. All you are is a what? All you are is a gossip. Comes the Rambam, please get this. And the Rambam argues. And what does the Rambam say? Rambam says, absolutely not. Once you have the audacity as a shomer to take that object and use it for yourself, then kolsa shmirasa. You are no longer a shomer. Kolsa shmirasa. You are no longer a shomer. You've been extinguished and terminated as a shomer. And therefore, once that happens, the Bailin's reshus goes up in smoke, and therefore you become a what? Excellent. You become a ganav with those soft chayfits from the reshus bialin. Because you took the object, whatever you did with it. But it's a virtual type of those soft chayfits. What is your name? Aaron. It's Aaron. It's a virtual those soft chayfits. It's a halakhical soft chayfits. It's a very good point. And therefore you are deemed as a ganav according to the Rambam. That is the sheet of the Rambam. So here, I want you to get this. The fundamental machlokes is utilizing this component again of otzos kefitz reshus bialin in the scenario of a shomer. When a shomer does geneva, and we had to work a little bit, how's it different than Tony Tynan's got of this case? So Jason said maybe there was no shvua. Okay, possible. And the Magen Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah work at it and say that maybe Tony Tynan's got of this where it's just a pure shvua where you didn't take anything. And here you're actually taking something, even if there would be a shvua. You follow me, Jason? Even if you did take a shvua, but since you moved it, maybe the Raivan says it's different. We say we don't know why. It should be a kosher kid, right? Where you don't touch it, your chayav kefil. Certainly what? Certainly where you move it, where you take it for yourself, you should be, no. Should be a kosher kid. Who asked me that in Seder? Forgot to point it out in Seder. Raivan should be. Eight times you asked that? Forgot. Okay. That's another utilization of this concept. Okay. Let's continue upon this mahalach. We have to try to answer our original question. Okay, I just want to move on, Ezra, okay? All right. Rambam writes the following, okay? If it is true, these distinctions that we have made, covert over, like the chet as opposed to matzid, moment of violin, with also explaining that you could have an isser gneva without the chalois, like you have by gonav and a ganav, like you have by asavus tvul, and we utilize this machlokes Rambam Raivan to explain the utilization of this element of a tzos kefitz reshus bialin. I want to give now a few examples of dinim that we must work with this definition. Okay? And at first glance, it seems difficult based on the definition the Rav of Reb Chaim gave, but we can explain. That is the following with this Rambam. Rambam in Hilchos Gzeilah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, says the following. There is a din called Shlichus Yad. If you're Shaleach Yad B'Pikaron, Rambam writes, you are considered to be a Gazlan. Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph. Rambam says, I'm watching an object, an automobile of JC's. He gives me the watch. I'm a Shomer Chinuch. Shomer Chinuch is not allowed to touch the object. He's not allowed to be Shaleach Bo Yad. He has to watch it. Gives me an item to use. Cannot what? Cannot use it. Gives me a basketball to watch. I cannot dribble it. Practice my dribbling. I have to watch it. If I deem and I use it, that's called Shlichus Yad. Shlichus Yad, you're a Gazlan. Now I stress that it's talking about a Shomer Chinim and a Shomer Socher. Because obviously a Socher, renter, can use the object, and a Shoal can use the object. Shlichus Yad is by a Shomer Chinim and a Shomer Socher. Based on Sukkim and Chumash and the Gemara and Bo Metzias, Perek HaMaskin explains that Shlichus Yad, you're considered to be what? You're considered to be a Gazlan. Sorry. You're considered to be a Gazlan. Okay? Shlichus Yad, you're a Gazlan. Why is that difficult? Why is that difficult? Someone tell me. But even forget about this. It says what? Shlichus Yad, you're always a Gazlan. He did it to say, sir. No one sees me dribbling the basketball. No one sees me driving his car. And you're always deemed as a Gazlan. Why? If I did it covertly, shouldn't that be called a what? A Ganav? What's the shot? The pshat is because why? Again, you need to be called a ganav. What do you need? Eitan hotzot chepitz mirushus bailin. The rishus of the shomer is the rishus of who? The bailin. And therefore, even if you're shaleach bo yad, you have not been motzi the pikadon mirushus what? Bailin. And therefore, remains a what? You remain a gazlan, and you're no longer what? You remain a gazlan, not a what? Not that you're no longer. You never were a ganav. You follow me? Shlichus Yad by definition. Okay? That's the din of the Shlichus Yad. You want to say it's a bit contradictory to the previous Rambam? Shomer Shagana. Good point. Excellent point. Everyone's bothered by that. Shomer Shagana. Why you chayav kefil in that case? So, what's the distinction that I would say simply? Shlichus Yad can happen even if in my backyard I start dribbling the basketball. I start driving the car only in my driveway. That's called Shlichus Yad. No matter what, I touch it, that's it. You're a Gazlan. The Rambam we were talking about earlier is you did actually an act of Geneva. Your mama took it out of your rishus. I mean, you put it somewhere else. You put it somewhere else. You actually took it out. So we can distinguish between Shlichus Yad and the concept of what that previous Rambam. Nonetheless, what I want to bring out is that Shlichus Yad again, you're defined as a Gazlan. Please get that. Because again, you're lacking of Zohar's Tefis, may reshus Bible. Because Yad Shomer Kav Baal Mais. And that's more mitigated. Shlichus Yad is much more mitigated than a Mais of Geneva. Okay. Another Rambam that let's get. Another Rambam. Rambam says, if you shaleach, I'm sorry, if you shol shalom midas bailin. Second Rambam. Shol shalom midas. Say you borrow something without permission from your friend. You borrow a pen, you had no permission. Rambam writes in Hilchos Gzeilah Perek Gimel Lachatet Vav that a shol shalom midas is what, Avi? Is a Gazlan. Why is he a Gazlan? I wanted you to see that Rambam. Why is he a Gazlan? If it was without Yediyah the Bailin, wasn't that covert? Shouldn't you be called a Ganav? What's the answer again? The answer is because what does Gneva require? Otsoas Chesmetz Mirshus Bailin. And Shol Shalomi Das, since it was taken what? B'Torah Shela? It was not taken. You didn't plan on keeping it forever. You planned to borrow for an hour or two. In such a situation, that's not considered to be otsah shrushus mifailin, because it was temporary, and therefore you are labeled only as a gazel. Clear? We got this clear. Please get it. Number three. Why did you just see in the Rambam? Rambam writes, in Pirkei Avot and Chasidus Halacha Beis, you are a boss, and you don't pay your employee. You are a kovesh schar schir. What does the Rambam say? What are you called, Donnie? A ganav for a gazlan. What does the Rambam say? Gazlan. Gazlan. What's the pshat? Let's say you do it covertly. You're a boss that somehow can fake out the employee that's really been paid for 6 months. Why are you called a gazlan? Horrible boss, right? Why are you called a gazlan? What's the pshat? Because again, there is no tzoras chayfitz mirushus bailin. You must have tzoras chayfitz mirushus bailin. You just stopped yourself from paying the guy. You're ma'akiv mamo by refusing to pay. That's not tzoras chayfitz mirushus bailin. That's a gazlan, not a gazlan. Okay? Please get this up. Therefore, based on this, let us suggest the following. We began with the kashya that the Rambam begins Hilchos Kneva with the Dvigoyim Shava Pruta Ula Maila. Dvigoyim Shava Pruta Ula Maila. And what did you say in Hilchos Kneva? He leaves out the word Ula Maila, just says Shava Pruta. What's the difference? So someone plug it in for me. Chaim, go ahead. Fill in the blank now, based on what we built up, based on the Chaim and the Rav. What is Gneiva? What is Gneiva? Gneiva is considered to be what? A Maisa Gneiva Otsos Chaitas Mirshus Bailin. That's when you do Maisa Gneiva Echad. Therefore, the Etzim Isser never changes. Therefore, according to the Rambam, as long as you steal more than a Shavu Pruta, Ula Maila, you see you steal $10 million. You divide up those $10 million into what? Into, I don't know how many, billion, trillion Prutas? Of course not. You've done one Maisik Neva. One covert Maisik Neva, which is violent. Therefore, the Rambam writes, if you steal a Shavu Pruta, Ula Maila, as long as the Shavu Pruta more, it's one Maisik Neva. That might be engaged with a lot of different prutas, but it's one maisa gneiva. It's one maisa aveira. Whereas, when it comes to gzeila, what is gzeila? Gzeila is what? Being ma'akiv mamon shechaveiro, hetzed mamon. Every pruta on its own is distinct and special. And you are over what? You are over the iser of Zayl with everyone, every single pruta that you engage in stealing. Because Zayla is such that is being Maka Mamash Chavera, so you isolate, you distinguish and break down and analyze every pruta being different. When it comes to Gnade, it's one act of a Maisaveira. And therefore it could be $10 million. Therefore the Rambam Shavu Pruta of a Maila, but it's one covert Maisaveira. Whereas Zayla is solely mocking Mamash Chavera, so therefore there's no need to have Ula Maila. Not there's no need, it's inappropriate rather. It's Shava Pruta. You stole $10 million, you divide up into trillion Prutas of Zayla. Do with Zayla. You follow me how we fill in the blank? This is the pshat, the difference between what? Between Neva and Zayla. Ezra, go ahead real quick.
I don't understand why you think by Neva,
but it doesn't have to be that. That's what I'm explaining.
No, but you classify a kid so somebody takes out money and the guy doesn't realize as Zayla, right? When the guy takes money from somebody who doesn't realize,
he does realize. It's for Hesia.
Right? When the guy never had it, right?
Right.
There's no one to understand. But
right.
Right. However, a motif of failure is Mutabrisha.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. It's not needed to define Zeyla. You can call Zeyla something that is Zeyla, even though it does not have a Mutabrisha
Bayla. My question really is, what makes Mutabrisha Bayla, and what makes Zeyla that's the mother?
You said it yourself. Kneva is Otsar Skeptus Bayla. If you don't have that, Otsar is not Kneva. And anything that is not that is called what? It's called Zeyla. That's why the Torah says you have Kepha. That's exactly what it is. You ask me a good question. If you lack that component, then what? Then it's not going to ever be called a Chalais Kneva. Therefore, Kovish Shkar Seir is Zeyla. You don't have Otsar Skeptus Bayla. But what I'm saying is that in the same vein, Kneva lends itself to be one Maisavera, because it's like a violent spiritual act. That's what Kneva really is. It's a slap in the face, God forbid, to the Kaviyachal, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're more scared of man than the Abishur. That's a violent spiritual act. That's why you're given capable. That's why it's done, it's covert, and that's why it's a mice avera that lends itself to me. If you spend $10 million, it's all one what? One mice avera. Whereas Zeyla very, very clearly hefted moment oriented, financial loss, and that's all. Debit, credit, all the accounting majors, right? Debit, credit. That's what it is. Financial loss, financial loss. Hefted moment. It's not a violent spiritual act. Whereas Kneva is. And that's exactly what the Rambam is here driving at. Okay. We gotta go bike. Let's go bike. Okay? Fine. Now, I do want to note the following very quickly. Okay? Let's get this. Okay? So we define a very clear difference between Kneva and Zeyla. I want to now go to the following, okay? Let's get these very quickly, okay, based on this chilukim. The beginning of the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, and it was Gneva also. Rambam makes the following very interesting point. And he says, if you steal less than the Shovah Pruta, you are over an Isser. Rambam writes, if you steal less than a Shovah Pruta, you are over an Isser. Okay? I'm sorry, he says this in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. Usul lignov kol shu din Torah. And he says, usul lignov derech schok o lignov amanas l'achsir o amanas l'shalom. Kol usur shulo yargil atzmo v'kach. What is the Rambam right here in Halacha Beis in Halacha Beis? Not allowed to steal. If you steal less than a shear of a pruta, you're over nisid yiraisa. He says, if you steal the derech sulk of a derech amanas l'shalim, you are also over nisid yiraisa lo signal, because you should not be margal atzma b'kach. Very, very interesting Rambam. First of all, want to note the Magen Mishnah I want you to see there. I remember Peretzky's atzal was the boy in yeshiva when I was in yeshiva. Great, great dog. He pointed out this Magen Mishnah to me. What is the marker that a Rambam says if you steal less than a Shovah Pruta, you're over Nisid Yoraisa? Chetzi Shir. Now what's the marker of Chetzi Shir? The Gemara Yuma and Dafayin Dala Namar Aleph. You read a Chetzi Kezayis of Chelev, Rabbi Yochanan says you're over Nisid Yoraisa. You're not Chayav Malkus for it. But if you eat a Chetzi Shir, you'll be over Nisid in the Torah. Hashem will punish you. Someone. Rav Shlakish says Chetzishir is mutter minat teira. Machlokes Rav Yochanan Rav Shlakish says that Chetzishir is mutter rasha. We hold like Rav Yochanan. The context there is chaylev and also eating in Yom Kippur. The shear of Yom Kippur is kaseves agas. Now there is a very interesting tshuva of the Chacham Svi. You get it down in Simin Pei Bo, chief rabbi of Amsterdam, where he writes Chetzishir is asur minat teira only in Machlokes Asuras, where things are asur to eat. You only have it, he says, in the Gemara, by Caleb and by what? Eating in Yom Kippur. Number one, Rashi and Shabbos and I and Dalamanov says the din of Chetzi Shir applies to all the malachas. Has nothing to do with eating over there. Not allowed to cook on Shabbos. If you do your Chayav Kardas, it's Skila. Beit HaMinasra. The Shir is the Grovers. You do Chetzi, it's also awesome. That's your shear by Shabbos. There's nothing to do with eating. So that, number one, the Chacham sees against the Rashi. And number two, is against this Magen Mishnah. That's what Peretzky's Atzal pointed out, that the Magen Mishnah learns that your shear is usher, even by Gneva. Obviously, Gneva's not talking about eating. Correct? Therefore, you see the usage of Chetzi Shear outside the area of Macholas Asuris. But it's interesting, more than that, and that is that why is it that the Rambam, in fact, puts this together, this halacha, why does the Rambam put this halacha together, Chetzi Shear, with stealing the Derech Schok, or stealing Amanas to return? What's the link? If it's a bit of Chetzi Shear, what's the link? Why does the Rambam put it together in halacha base? So what's the pshat? So Reb Chaim explained the following. Reb Chaim explained that according to the Rambam, it's not because of Chetzi Shear. The Rambam wanted to explain that the Isser stealing less than a Shavu Pruta by Gneva is the way he called it, is considered to be the lav of Losig Novu, because Isser Tuffel, it's an Isser that's Tuffel to the lav of Gneva, that is Pater from Malchus. It's an Isser that is tuffle from the lav that is putter from Malchus. Okay? And we're going to see why you're putter from Malchus by Gnaving Sale. But he said it had nothing to do with Chetzi Shear. It has to do again with the violent act that you engage in. It wasn't a Shavu Pruta, so what? You're over the Isser of Lo Sig Novu. That's what Reb Chaim wanted to explain. You caused sorrow to a person. You did it, but they're assault, so what? He didn't know that. You did it, I'm going to have to return. He didn't know that. That's engaging in the violent act of Geneva. And you are over Isser. And therefore, the Rama put together Chetzi Shear with their Soka and I'm going to have to offer. Please get this. You go like the Magen Mishnah to Dina Chetzi Shear. It's very difficult. What's the connection? You read Halacha Beis. You say like the Reb Chaim, it makes a lot of sense. And what's the phrase that really pins this down? What phrase did he say in Halacha Beis? Shlo what? Yargil. What do you mean Shlo Yargil? What does Shlo Yargil usually mean? Like a Seir the Rabbanan. That you shouldn't become in that habit. No, it's much more than that. The violent act of Neva. Shlo Yargil Atzmo B'kach. That's why it's bad even if it's Chetzi Shear. That's why it's bad if it's Derech Sok. That's why it's bad even if it's Amanas B'hak Lapsor. It's not like what? It's not like Zayla. You follow me? It's not like Zayla. Now, what was the din by Zayla? Did he say Chetzi Shear by Zayla? Did anyone note that? Was there a din Chetzi Shear by Zayla or not? Does anyone recall that? Yes, there was. No? It was in Halakha Beis. There was in Halakha Beis. There was in Halakha Beis that concept. But you don't have that concept of Shlo Yargil Atzmo B'kach in Zayla, if you noticed. You don't have that concept. It just says it's Usser. He just says it's usher. Kolshu, it's usher. Okay? Because you are what you're engaging in, what? An overt type of thievery. But the truth is, Geneva is much more than that. It's much different. That's why you have that phraseology. Please get it. Shlo Yargil Atzmo B'kach. Where is that in Hilchos Geneva? It's not in Hilchos Zayla. And that's why the Rambam puts all three of these together. Up. Then we go to the following point, okay? And that is the following Chiddush. Why is it that you're not Chayav Malchus by Gneva and Zayla? Why not? So did anyone notice in the Rambam how he breaks down Gneva and Zayla? It's very interesting. And he says the following. Please get it. Rambam in the beginning of the Zayla says, why aren't you Chayav Malchus by Zayla? Go ahead, Eitan. Number one, he says, if the item's still there, there's a mitzvah essay to return the stolen object. Lav hanitakl essay. Give me an example. No, sir. What's the mitzvah essay? You burn it, right? Lav's to leave over the bus and the korb in the morning. You did burn it. Anytime there's a mitzvah essay to rectify the lav, you're not Chayav Malchus. Excellent. Then what does the Rambam say? Please get it down. Then what did the Rambam say? You got to notice it. What did he say? If you want, destroy the object, then you can pay it back. Why aren't you chayav malchus for that? Please get it down. What does he call it? Alav anitan l'tashlumin. He calls it alav anitan l'tashlumin. Anytime the lav can be paid back, you're also not chayav malchus. So he breaks it down in two tiers when it comes to gzeila. David, you got me? He breaks it down in two tiers when it comes to gzeila. If the object's still there, you're not chayav because it's hashav is gzeila. And number two, if the object is gone, it's a lav anitan l'tashlumin eilo. How does the Rambam do when it comes to ilchus k'neiva? So when it comes to ilchus k'neiva, Rambam writes the following shibsh. Rambam says, "Ein lokin alav ze sharinitan l'tashlumin she'aganav chiyav t'teira l'shalim." What does he say when it comes to k'neiva? What? No two tiers. It's a lav anitan l'tashlumin and finished. The lava nikam letashlumin and finished. What's the difference? What's the difference? Oh, so it could very well be the following. Maybe one could suggest that it depends upon how we define Zayla and Gneva earlier in Shir. Okay? And that is the following. When it comes to gzeila, if the object is still there, then you have what? You have a mitzvah to what? Return the object. And that's what the Rambam holds. If the object is still there, you're mekayim the mitzvah of hashavas gzeila. When the object goes up in smoke, you have a din called tashlumin. Do you fulfill a mitzvah of hashavas gneiva, hashavas gzeila, when you pay money? Yes or no? Rambam says no. That's against the Tosin Makis I gave you the Mar Makolos. Tosin Makis on Tetzayin Amar Aleph writes that you fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas Gzeila with paying money too. And the Rambam argues and says no. Tosin Makis is Tetzayin Amar Aleph Maskel Hossel. So you have a machlokes at the Rambam Tosis. Can you fulfill a mitzvah of Hashavas Gzeila with money? Rambam says no. And Tosis says yes. So Rambam writes, when it comes to Gzeila, if the object is still there, you're not chayav malchus lav anitan l'tashlumin. When it's destroyed, it's a lav anitan l'tashlumin. When it comes to Gneva, though, what's the pshat? When it comes to Gneva, what's the pshat in the Rambam? When it comes to Gneva, what's the pshat in the Rambam? Why does the Rambam hold that it's always a what? It's always considered to be what? Always considered to be lav anitan l'tashlumin. Isn't there also a mitzvah? When the object is there, what's the pshat? What must you say according to the Rambam? This is a bit of a chiddush, but please get it. Kenev is a violent spiritual act, and you are chayav from the very moment that you did it. We don't care whether the object's there or not. We don't care. You have violently hurt someone in a spiritual level. And therefore, you have a chiyuv to pay him back whether the item is there or not. For Rushas HaGneiva, you've done a terrible thing. You've done something covertly that's all. It's all escapes, which is violent. Whether the object is there or not, I don't care. According to the Rambam, Rambam holds, therefore, you have a chiyuv to what? You have to heave to pay back, and it's called tashlumin immediately. Therefore, it's considered to be a lav anitan l'tashlumin. Because the act is, in a sense, done. The spiritual act is finished. And therefore, the only reason why you're not chayav to pay back, the only reason why you're not chayav kefil, and the only reason why you're not chayav malchus, is because you pay back with it. You follow me? You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that Gneva doesn't lend itself to be rectified. It's a done deal. You've done a spiritual aveira, a violent act, it is done. The reason why you're not Gaia Malchus is because you can always pay back, whether it's with the item, whether it's with the object. But it's a done deal. You follow what I'm saying? That's what flows from what we said in the beginning of Shir. It's done to say so, it's a done deal. It's Ganuk. Ganuk in Yiddish to English just means it's finished. It's done. The reason why Nachai of Malkus in general is because of Lava Nicholas. Zayla, though, is a Hefzid Mamun issue. It's a Hefzid Mamun issue. If the object's still there, you have a mitzvah of a Shamsa Zayla. If it's not there, then you have the second tier of the payment. You follow what I'm saying? Has everyone got this? It's a very beautiful Kiddush that follows from this. I think it highlights that strength of it being a spiritual violent act. It's done. You're finished with it. You'll have to ask him for Mechila, and in essence, really, it cannot be rectified. You'll have to give forgiveness, you'll have to return it, you're not going to mock, so you'll pay back the object. But in essence, it speaks to the heinous crime of what Geneva is, as opposed to Gzela. You follow what I'm saying? Gzela can be rectified. The objects there fulfill the mitzvah of a Shem Tzeva. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. You got, when you open up, it's remarkable. You open up this Rambam, I was banging my head. Why does the Rambam not say there's a mitzvah of Lava Nita Glesi by Geneva? He blatantly leaves it out. Only by Zela does he have those two tiers. By Geneva, he says there's no two tiers. Why? That's what it speaks to. It's a discrete, finite act that I cannot rectify. I cannot fix. And that's why it comes up with the new Svar, Lava Nita Tashlumin, I won't be high about this. Okay. Now, we have two or three more points we have to finish up in the Hakdama and the Rambam. Then tomorrow we have to start the Mishnah and the Gemara with the Tyson. I'll give you more Mar Makomos for tomorrow. Okay? Tomorrow also on Thursday we do Chumash at the end of Shir also as well. Okay? Alright, so Chaz are over. And we'll begin Shir tomorrow with 2-3 Nekudas in the Rambam, and then we have to go Viker in the Mishnah and the Gemara. Okay, everyone have a good day. And have a Slocher. Well, Davin Minchin. Yeah, Davin Minchin.
I just want to look and ask if anyone doesn't have a Kedusha to stay after Mincha, and we'll try to match you up with someone.
We'll try to get it. Jason, try to get it.